All right, Revelation 21, 23 through 27. The Lamb's wife is those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's his wife. And it's, according to the scriptures, it's just a few people out of the billions and billions and billions who have been on this earth. And for that matter, the billions who have come to know and hear of Christ, but just don't really know him like his wife knows him. All right, the city had no need of sun. The city is the wife. As we'll see here, we've already been over it. Verse 9 of this very chapter says, I saw New Jerusalem descending from heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. Now, this is us. This is you and me. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Now, nothing that defiles can come into it. So this is not talking about anyone but the elect. Only the elect are that city. Only the elect can enter into the temple in heaven, and the temple in heaven is the city. They're the same thing. And I get that statement from Revelation 15, verse 8, where it says, no man could enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels are fulfilled. All right, verse 25, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. They who? Those that are in the city. And there shall in no wise enter into it, right here it is. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie. But, this is all that's in the city, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I just read it. I didn't write it. I just read it to you. And I believe it. When we read in our last study that I saw no temple therein, what are we being told? What we're being told is that you are the temple. That the symbolism of the temple will then have been fulfilled. We don't need a physical, as they say, brick and mortar building. We are the building. We are the stones, lively stones, that make up the temple that Christ resides in. Christ is now dwelling with men because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. This verse, Revelation 21, 22, is not a very contradiction of these verses, 1 Corinthians 3, 16, in 2 Corinthians 6:16. Know you not that you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? In 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God, you and I, with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Revelation 21, verse 22, complements 1 Corinthians 3:16. And 2 Corinthians 6:16, it doesn't contradict it, it complements it. And confirms these verses to be true. John 17, verse 11, and John 17, verse 22. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. We're in the world. No denying that. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now, how many denominations do you think there are in the Godhead? That's right. There aren't any denominations. They think exactly like they do what Paul importunes and beseeches us to do. They're of the same mind, of the same judgment. And the glory which, John 17, 22, and the glory which you gave me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You say, well, Mike, that's not possible. Well, you're right. For humans, it certainly isn't. Look at all the thousands and thousands of Christian denominations that are out there. And the fact that they're out there testifies against them. Because Christ is not an incorporated group of men. Christ is a organism, but not an organization. He's a living organism, and he's the head of that organism. He, not you or me or anyone else, but he. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Christ is, so are we in this world. Christ is the head of his, Christ is of his head, his father, just as we, the bride, the Lamb's wife, the New Jerusalem, all those are referring to us, are of our head, Christ. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Every man. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ, oh yes, Christ has a head. Not an three-part equal three-part Godhead. The invisible things of God are understood by the things that are made, and the things that are made tell us that the head of the man is the woman, and the head of Christ is God. I mean, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. We're told that the invisible things of God are understood, being clearly seen by the things that are made. Romans 1:20. The invisible things of God, the physical things of Him from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even His eternal power and Godhead. The Godhead is understood by Christ having a head, and that head is God. To us there is but one God, the Father. 1 Corinthians 8:6. To us there is but one God, the Father. One God, the Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ, who is His Son, wife. They're both the same in Scripture. So that they, the Trinitarians and all other polytheists, are without excuse. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. The head of Christ is God, and the invisible things of God, even His eternal power and Godhead, are clearly understood by knowing that, so they are without excuse. That all being true, it is therefore in the creation account that we can plainly see His eternal power and Godhead. The head of Christ is God the Father, just as Adam was the head of Eve. The phrase God the Father appears 12 times in the New Testament. 12 times, and it's always in association with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. That's a quote. Galatians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a couple of the 12. 2 John 1, verse 3, grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. No mention of a third person. In truth and in love. Not one of the 12 entries of the phrase God the Father includes the Holy Spirit as a person. And then they mention it, who is apart from the who is a part of the Godhead, which we are to understand, by the things that are made. In Luke 3, we're told that Adam is the son of God. Luke 3:38, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Eve comes out of Adam and is called Adam. Genesis 2:21. The Lord said, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had made from the man, had taken from the man, he made a woman and brought it to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of Adam. That word man is Adam. Christ came out of God. 1 Corinthians 8:6. To us there is but one God. Nobody believes this. No Christians believe it. They don't believe this. Nah. One God, the Father, of whom are all things. Well, what about the Holy Ghost and Jesus? Well, of all things, and we in Him, in one Lord Jesus Christ, By whom are all things, and we by him, just like it says in 1 Corinthians 11. Well, we're getting there. All things are of God the Father, but all things come by one Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are by Christ, yet all men are of the woman. Making that same point, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 and 12. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, Christ is of God, even so is the man also by the woman. Christ is by his Father. And all things are by Christ. To us, there is but one God the Father, of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. But all things of God. All men are by the woman, just as all things are by one Lord Jesus Christ. To us, there is but one God the Father, of whom are all things, we in him, one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. That brings us back to how the invisible things of God, even his eternal power and Godhead, are understood by the things that are made, because Eve, who is of Adam, is yet called the mother of all living. Genesis 3:20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. What all this shows us is that the bride, the Lamb's wife, is also to become the mother of all living, who will come up through great tribulation of the great white throne judgment, and they will wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, like it says in Revelation 7, where they're being contrasted with the 144,000 who are numbered. The last part of Romans 7, Revelation 7, says that there's another group that no man could number, and they also come up through great tribulation, through the judgment of the great white throne. So those who are Christ's are his bride, his wife, the mother of all of his children. Those who are in Christ are Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. That's who we are. We're Jerusalem above. The bride, the Lamb's wife, has now been pronounced to be the faithful, to be the fulfillment of the symbolism of the temple into which all who come to God must enter. There is no temple therein, simply because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb therein are the temple of it. So the following verse now applies to the Lamb's wife and the New Jerusalem. Revelation 15, verse 8, the temple, that is the Lamb's wife, was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now that's Revelation, the last verse of Revelation 15. The previous chapter tells us that those who did experience the seven plagues of the seven angels were tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. So that's what we do, only we do it first. There's one experience, one event to all men, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 2. If you and I are the temple of God, then it's only so because the Spirit of God dwells in us. That's what you and I are being told when we read Revelation 21, 22. I saw no temple there, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are at the temple of it. If we are the bride, the Lamb's wife, the Holy Jerusalem, then it's not adding to what is written to say there's no temple therein, because Christ and his Father within us are the temple thereof. That's just as true here and now as it will be in the great white throne judgment, where the Lamb's wife will begin to bring forth fruit in the form of all men who have ever lived. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit, not in letter, in the spirit. The letter is exactly what it says. The spirit is exactly what it means. Christ is not a four-footed barn animal. And yet he is the Lamb of God. And he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. In spirit. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain in spirit and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, in spirit, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Revelation 21, verse 24 and 25. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings who have ruled and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut by at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Now these are the words of the Lord, and they will not pass away. These words will be just as applicable to all men who are cast into the lake of fire as they apply to us now in our own fiery trials. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, the fire and brimstone which is to try you, the seven last plagues which are to try us, all of our tribulations and persecutions which are to try us are the evident token of our salvation. The only difference is that those who are not granted to have part in the first resurrection will not become the mother of all living, and they will never be called the bride, the Lamb's wife, his children. His children, yes. His wife, no. We will be the temple with the 12 gates. Or the city with the 12 gates is what that should be. The city with the 12 gates through which all men of all time must pass as they are dragged to us, through us, to Christ and his and our Father. That temple does have five pillars at the front and four at the back. Five indicating the grace and truth that brings us to Christ, and four indicating the whole of mankind who will be brought to God. But the four separate the four pillars in the are between the holy place and the most holy, and the five are between the door of the temple and the court. Okay, where to get to here? To the natural, where? So the natural man is pure foolishness to say we are the four beasts and the 24 elders, which are in the midst of the throne and round about the throne. And at the same time, we are Christ's children. We are also his brothers, his sisters, his mother. And at the same time, we're his wife. How is any of this possible? There's no problem at all in the spirit. And we're being carried away in the spirit, you know. Now, let's see if there's any truth to what I just said. Matthew 12, verse 47 through 50. Then one said unto him, behold, your mother and your brothers stand without, desiring to speak with you. I don't know what in the world the Catholics make of that when they think that Mary was a virgin that never had anybody but Christ. But anyway, there it is. Your mother and your brothers stand without, desiring to speak with you. But he answered and said to him, that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. I didn't say it. Christ said it. If we go on to say we are the angel who shows us these things, and we're the seven churches, and we're the 144,000, it just sounds impossible for one very precious pearl of great price to be all of these things. It is all true only if we're in Christ in this present time. Romans 8:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time. Look at that. Hey, why did he have to stick that word suffering in there? Why didn't he just put all the blessings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed? But he doesn't. He says sufferings. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. Oh, really? The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. We've had so many people to drop out of our fellowship because they say we're too negative. All we talk about is judgment and pain and suffering and tribulation. Well, to us it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer with him. You shall be hated by all men. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That blessed and holy first resurrection is what he's talking about there. Galatians 3:29. If you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed. Oh, really? So you don't really have to be a Jew at all, physically, and heirs according to the promise. 1 Corinthians 3:21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Wow, that sounds wonderful. Until you realize that it's a two-edged sword. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life or death, or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you're Christ, and Christ is God's. To add to the confusion of the natural man, we must also confess that before we are Christ's wife, we were first the Ephesians who had lost their first love. We were the church of Smyrna with they that say they are Jews and are not, but do lie and are the synagogue of Satan. The church of Pergamos, where Satan dwells among you. As the church of Pergamos, we first held the doctrine of Balaam. We ate the things offered to idols, committed spiritual fornication, all while lording it over the Lord's flock, as we also held the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, as the church of Thyatira. And you know, it does say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. As the church of Thyatira, we first allowed that woman Jezebel to seduce us and to cause us to commit fornication. These things must all be seen as being within our own flesh, and they must first be burned out of us and develop within us the patience and faith of the saints. As the church of Sardis, we must first come to see ourselves as spiritually dead. We've got to come to see ourselves that way. And as Laodicea, we must also acknowledge that even as we've been all these terrible things, we still think of ourselves as being rich and increased with goods, while totally unaware of the fact that in reality, we are spiritually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All of this must be read, heard, and kept before we are granted to become the bride, the Lamb's wife, through whom all men will be brought to Christ. Now you say, Mike, you didn't mention Philadelphia there. Well, Philadelphia didn't have anything negative to contribute to the conversation here, but it did have an open door, and we are blessed to have that also. Revelation 21, verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Another way of understanding what we're being told in this verse was given to us by our Lord when talking to his disciples just before his apprehension and his glorification. Here's how he told us that the glory of God and the Lamb would be within those who are espoused to him as a chaste virgin. John 14, verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. That's a hard thing for the natural man to lay hold on. Our primary approach to these words is to see these words as I and you. When we apply these words presently and internally, their outward and future application take care of themselves. Here's what this knowledge produces within us. John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's the is and the present application for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Here is Christ revealing to us that we are this city on a great and high mountain. Matthew 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now that Greek word for hill is oros, and it's also translated mountain. The same word. I'll look unto the hills from which cometh, it's the same word. I'll look unto the mountain from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. The Greek word translated hill in this verse is the same word translated mountain in this verse. Same word. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high oros. Hill. Mountain. Being high, it's actually a mountain. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This Greek word oros appears in the New Testament 65 times. 62 of those 65 are some form of the word mountain. 28 entries are translated mountain, 21 mount, 13 mountains, plural. Only 3 times is this word oros translated as hill. In Matthew 5, 14, Christ is telling us that we are that great city on a great and high mountain, which cannot be hid. Revelation 21, 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It's nothing less than denying our Lord when we put our light under a bushel or try to hide the fact that we are a city on a mountain. Christ goes as far as to tell us that just as the world did not know who he was, neither will he recognize who we are. John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. And then in verse 37, the same chapter earlier there, he said, I know you're Abraham's physical seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. The apostle named Judas asked Christ, not Judas Iscariot, this is another apostle named Judas, how this is accomplished, and this is his answer. Judas has said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not to the world? How are you going to do that? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Judas is standing there thinking, what's that got to do with anything? And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keepeth not my sayings. The word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. It's Christ's words, which are really his Father's words, which, if they're in us, put Christ and his Father with their light and with their glory within us. And while those that know Christ and know his voice will see and hear Christ in us, the world won't. That's how the light and glory of God and the Lamb are within us as that great city, which is the wife of the Lamb. Revelation 21, 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. Now, everyone, I think, here understands it. The giants in the land, the nations in the land, when Israel came up out of Egypt, represent the giants and the nations within us. Because the land is our body. Here is a verse which, when I say is, signifies our body. Here's a verse which graphically demonstrates both the inward and the outward application of these words. The nations of them that are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, because Revelation 5, verse 8 through 10. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and have redeemed us," the four beasts and the 24 elders, "have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. But if we walked in the light," 1 John 1, verse 7, "but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." We have fellowship with each other because we know when we hear the voice of Christ. We know when we're hearing his words. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness," this is 1 John 4, 17, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is the king of the world, so are we in this world." Christ was the king of the world, and nobody knew who he was. Christ is the light of the world, but he tells us that as he is, so are we in this world. Then speak John 8, 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Therefore, if he is that light that lightens the great city, which city we are, then we too must be the light of the world. Is that so? If we do not walk in darkness, then there is no light in us. If we do not walk in darkness, then there's no light in, then there is no night in us, as that city of the New Jerusalem, a mountain great and high." Matthew 5, verse 14. You, yet sure enough, here's Christ himself. These are red letters if you got a red letter edition. "You are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." The word hill there is Oros, mountain, a great and high mountain. "He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the gates of it," the bride, the Lamb's wife, "shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there." There's no night in the holy Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife, because the Spirit of God dwells in us, and the glory of God and the Lamb are the light thereof. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. "You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. The gates of it need not be shut at all by day for this reason." Revelation 15, verse 8. "The temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God." I've been referring to this verse all through the chapter of the study. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Remember, this city, which city we are, is lightened by the glory of God and of the Lamb, who are both the temple of this city. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." In other words, the city and the temple are one and the same. You don't need a temple if you are the temple. If the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, then there will be no way in which any evil or any darkness can possibly slip through the gates of this city. Here's how we know this is the case. 1 Timothy 6, verses 15 and 16, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only, Christ only, has immortality, not Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets and the kings, good kings. No one is ascended into heaven. That's what Christ or Peter said on the day of Pentecost. And Christ said it too. No one has ascended into heaven except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. You and I are in heaven right now with Christ in his Father's throne, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. We may have thought that this verse is speaking only of the Father, but Christ makes clear that the word man does not mean those who love and obey God. Rather, it means unrighteous and ungodly men. If you know me, John 14, starting verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you, then, show us the Father? Well, he had no idea what Christ was even talking about. Philip was unconverted, and Christ knew it. Revelation 21, 26. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. The glory and honor of the nations is the subduing of everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings into captivity every thought through the obedience of Christ, so we can enter into the temple, enter into that city, be that city. 2 Corinthians 10, verse starting verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I didn't write it, but I'm reading it. Those who are in Christ do not war after the flesh. They don't go fight for God and country. You stay out of the military. Stay out of being, don't be a cop even. Stay away from anything where you have to take up a physical weapon. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And if you don't think it's a stronghold to fight for God and country and to be a good cop, well, just think twice, because it is. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You don't think that means you actually love your actual enemies who are out to do you bodily harm, do you? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean anything. And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Every thought is a nation, which when it is brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, is the honor of the nations, which will then become an integral part of the great and high wall and the four-square character of this city of God, which wants nothing but to please her husband. Remember, it's just a symbol for who we are as a body of Christ. We are a city. We're a nation. We're the nation of God. For a nation shall rise against a nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And that's what we experience when we begin to come to know who Christ is. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Now, it doesn't mean literal physical kill. It means whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations. They hate us, they kill us for my name's sake. All of this must happen as a necessary part of being prepared to enter into that great city. Christ continues with this very theme in Matthew 24. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. That means murder one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, iniquity is self-righteousness. And when you see these people defending themselves with such vigor, it's enough to make you wonder, well, maybe they're right. No. The more you defend yourself, the less right you are. Because iniquity shall abound, the love, that it means the obedient desire to obey God, shall wax cold. They will disobey God. They will defend God and country before they obey God. They will keep holidays, birthdays, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, Easter Bunny, all the traditions of men that it talks about in Colossians 1, verses 8 and verse 20, and Galatians 4, 9 and 10. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. It's not easy to endure to the end when you reject all these traditions of man. That's how we are prepared by our Lord to enter into this city and become the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21, 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that is defiled, that defiles, neither anything that works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The fact that the only people who can enter into this new Jerusalem, the bride, the Lamb's wife, are they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, proves that those who compromise this city or those who comprise this city are those who are given part in that blessed and holy first resurrection. Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes in this present time, not in the great white throne judgment, lake of fire, second death period, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and shall not I, sh I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 13:8, all that dwell on the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Not slain in 33 AD. Slain from the foundation of the world before Adam was even created. Revelation 17, verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And we've established that that bottomless pit is our own hearts and minds and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Revelation 20, verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was, now there it is, right there it is, was cast into the lake of fire. No one who is cast into the lake of fire was found written in the book of life. Those who come up in the resurrection of judgment, which is the great white throne judgment, also called the great white throne judgment, the lake of fire, second death, will come up through great tribulation of that judgment. But it will never be said of them that their names were written in the book of life. Read it again. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not written, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. The old man must die in this present age and be left behind with the rest of the world. If we are granted to enter into that city, it is only by acknowledging that we are marred vessels of clay in the potter's hand, that we have defiled the temple of God, and our old man must therefore be destroyed via the wrath of God upon our own ungodliness and unrighteousness, so that we ourselves, our new man, will be saved yet though as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, 15 through 18. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Well, believe me, we've all done plenty of works that have been burned up. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, our old man, along with all the other old men of this world. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Dying in order to live and enduring the fire to avoid the lake of fire is foolishness to the natural man. It's foolishness to a lot of people who think of themselves as spiritual, who think that we've all got to go through the lake of fire because it's there. And it says we've got to live by every word. Well, what's also there is that he that overcomes will not be hurt of the second death or the lake of fire. That all of us become a fool that we may be wise. Only then will we be granted to bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Let's read these last two verses again so we can remember just how special we are to our husband, the Lamb. Revelation 21, verse 26 and 27, the last two verses of this chapter. And they, meaning you and I, the kings of the earth for 1,000 years shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. In our study on Sunday, if the Lord wills, we will cover these verses of the very last chapter of this revelation of Jesus Christ within each of our lives. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And in the midst of the, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's where the four beasts and the 24 elders are, you know. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river that comes out of the throne, which is in the midst of the street, was there a tree of life, a tree on both sides of this river, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. All right, that's our study for tonight. You are a peculiar people, and that word peculiar just means special. That's all it means. It doesn't mean you're weird like we as Pentecostals used to take it. Go ahead.